sea.
Happy New Year, DXers. Welcome to Market Scope for January 2007. This month, our thanks go out to Audrey Levine of New York, who sent along a bit of WABC's Saturday Night Rewound program.
We used to be rocking. Now we're talking. Weekday mornings, 5 to 10 a.m. with Curtis and Kuby on 77 WABC.
Music comes here to play WABC.
What a great song, Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose, and Too Late to Turn Back Now on 77 WABC. Don't lose it, don't lose it. Well, we don't want to miss the end of that. WABC Music Time, 9 minutes after 6 o'clock. Just a perfect oldie there, you know. You know, you got a great song, great singers. You got those beautiful violins in the background. Hey, we've got a full show for you tonight. The whole 4 hours at Saturday Night Oldies. Peter Frampton will be with us later tonight. What a superstar he was there in the 70s. All of a sudden, that album Frampton Comes Alive came out, and he was just the biggest thing in the world there for a little while. He'll be with us a little later tonight. You know, it was Dan Ingram's birthday this past week. So I think we ought to do like a whole Dan Ingram hour. Maybe the next hour, like 7 to 8. We'll just spend that hour talking about Dan Ingram. We'll find some clips to play. And we've got lots more coming up. Of course, you can check out the message board. You go to musicradio77.com. There's a link there to the message board. Or you can call us. 1-800-848-WABC is the number.
Mark Simone,
a classic from Little Anthony. Hey, I talked to Little Anthony this week, and he will actually be with us on next week's show. He'll be our guest next week on Saturday Night Oldies. Peter Frampton a little later tonight on 77 WABC.
Mark Simone. Summer comes here to play WABC.
Well, all right, it's after Labor Day. Well, but it's still officially summer. I think there's like another week of summer. And as far as I'm concerned, it's still summer. And, you know, all summer long, this was the summer of oldies. I dug out all the great summer songs, and we tried to play them all one by one here on Saturday Night Oldies. But there's one that often people forget about. But here's one of the greatest summer songs of all. Just one of the greatest songs of all, period. Listen to this. Classic. Here's Johnny Rivers.
Summer rain taps at my window. West wind soft as a sweet dream.
The most music, WABC.
Yeah, great song, and the great Johnny Rivers on 77 WABC. One of the real summer classics. You know, it seems like back in the 60s and 70s, didn't it seem like there were millions of summers, but there were really only... only 10 per decade. I'm trying to remember that. Now, you had, of course, the summer of 67. You had Sgt. Pepper, which it was amazing. It just changed everything musically for a lot of groups. Of course, 67, you had the Summer of Love, Haight Ashbury, those hippies, Love Beads, all that stuff. 66, I guess, was the last really innocent summer where it was surfboards and Beach Boys and Gidget and that sort of stuff, because... 67, you had the Summer of Love and all of that, and anti-war stuff. 68 was a horrible summer. You had all the war protests. You had riots, remember, all over the country. The Detroit riots, riots in various cities. Remember, 68, you had the horrible assassinations, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King. I guess 69 was the most exciting summer. 69, you had Woodstock in the summer. You had a man landing on the moon. I mean, it's hard to top that summer. It's 18 minutes after 6. It's Saturday Night Oldies. If you want to call us, 1-800-848-WABC is the number. If you want to see what people are saying about the show, you go to musicradio77.com. There's a link to the message board, musicradio77.com.
Around here, we still play the hits. Saturday Night Oldies and weekday mornings with Curtis and Kuby on 77 WABC.
Mark some more 77 musical memories, WABC.
That's a great Dion on 77 WABC. It's Saturday Night Oldies, 6 until 10 every Saturday night. We've got the full 4 hours tonight. It's Mark Simone. Peter Frampton will be with us a little later on tonight's show. Also, take a look back at the great Dan Ingram. It's his birthday this week, so we'll devote the next hour to Dan Ingram here on 77 WABC. Let's take a couple of quick calls. Let's go to John in Scotch Plains. Hey there, John. John, are you there?
Yeah, how
are
you?
Oh, there you are. Yeah.
How's it going?
Good. What do you want to say, John?
I'm telling you right now, my wife and I are sitting around our pool, and we're just enjoying listening to the music. We haven't had a chance to enjoy our pool. We just moved into a brand new house.
Wait a minute. Isn't it a little cold out there? Well, I guess it's warm enough, isn't it?
It's fine today. We were in the pool. We haven't had a chance to enjoy the pool.
All right. Well, that's good to hear, John.
We were away all summer. We come home, turn on ABC, and it just brought us right back to that moment in the 70s when we were little kids again. So.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, John. Take care. Let's go to David in New Jersey. David, you're on WABC.
Hi, Mark.
Yes.
Love the show. Thanks for having me on. I'd like to, you were commenting about summer music. The summer of 65 was just a great time. The folk rock was on. Dylan became popular then.
Well, wait, now Dylan was popular before 65, but I guess that was...
Well, but not in the pop music.
I got to be honest, David. I a lot of great music in 65, but I wasn't that excited about the folk rock. It was the Beatles. It was Gary Lewis
and
the Playboys.
Well, the Beatles had help that summer. The Stones finally made it big with Satisfaction.
Yeah.
It was Sonny and Cher. I Got You, Babe.
Oh, you're right. No, but you got the Beatles, the Stones. Who could get excited about folk rock?
Oh, I love the folk rock.
You
myself.
Did?
Yeah.
Well... Then you must be happy to know that this week, the number one album in America is Bob Dylan's new album.
Oh, really? I've got it.
Yeah, I heard a bit of it. It's not the most dazzling thing I ever heard. But it's great to know that Bob Dylan, after, I think, 30-something years, has a number one album again.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for calling. Take care. Let's go to John in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. Hey there, John.
Hey, man of the uptown, Mark Simone. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How you doing?
Another great show. I'm just going to mention a couple of years here, Mark, starting with 1966.
That was a great summer.
Yeah, that was. You had Paperback Writer by the Beatles.
Yeah.
And Little Red Riding Hood by Sam Basham.
Yeah.
And then some of the things that happened in 66 was Charles Whitman. Did he go to the Tower at University of Texas? And he pick off a lot of people in a sniping incident.
Well, yeah, that's a wonderful moment. Well, why bring that up?
Well, you know, some of you were saying summer.
Oh, no, I know, I understand. Hey, there were great tragedies in the summer of 66. Ozzy and Harriet was canceled that summer.
Yeah, All-American Family, what can you say? 67 was, of course, when the song Scott McKenzie, San Francisco, Wear Flowers in Your Hair.
Well, I got to be honest, that was not one of the great turning points of my life, but no, it's a good song.
Right. And then 68 was when Alexander Zhukchev tried to take the Russians on and liberalize Czechoslovakia then.
Again, not one of the great moments of my childhood, but...
No. Well, I guess, it was for me because I learned to drive that year.
Oh, okay. See, that's more important. Hey, John, thanks for calling. Well, speaking of Bob Dylan...
You're on a music weekend. You're on it with WABC.
I mean, he was not exactly one of your premier WABC artists, but he did have some big hit records, one of his big hit singles. Remember, this was when he came back after the motorcycle accident.
Mark
Simone. Great record.
Lay across my big friend's bed.
great Bob Dylan on 77.
The most music, WABC.
And as I said, Bob Dylan's new album, number one in America right now. Isn't that amazing? Number one record in the whole country. It's 77 WABC. People arguing about what was the best summer on the message board. Ah, here's another one who agrees. Summer of 66. The last Beatles concert took place in the summer of 66. Let's see. I mentioned 1969. Well, look at the events of the summer of 69. Man landing on the moon, Woodstock. The Jets won the Super Bowl. The Mets won the World Series. The Yankees, I think they were in last place. That was in the middle of that horrible Yankees slump when the stadium was empty. As far as just earth-shattering events, summer of 69 was it.
Mike Simone, WABC.
Hey, coming up a little later on tonight, Peter Frampton will be with us. He'll be here in the 9 o'clock hour. Actually, maybe the 8 o'clock hour. Oh, it'll be later. We'll find out exactly when. It's 77 WABC. Speaking of the Rolling Stones, here's Jumpin' Jack Flash on Saturday Night Oldies on 77 Music Radio WABC. Classic Rolling Stones on 77 WABC Music Time, 22 minutes before 7 o'clock. It's still summer to me. I think there's another 10 days, 9 days of summer left. Now, it's actually, how come nobody ever talks about the great falls of their life, the great autumns of their life? Not a lot of great autumn songs. Although there's a lot of big fall events when you were a kid. Remember fall, the big fall preview TV guide, fall preview issue? It was the start of all these new shows. The new season would debut. And remember, you'd see these commercials for this new show coming called Laugh-In or something like that. Now, people don't remember. That was actually a clever title back then because in the summer of 67, they called it the Summer of Love. Remember all those hippies and Haight-Ashbury, and they started having these things called Love-Ins. That was a big thing back then, having a love-in. So Laugh-In was actually a pretty clever title back then. Let's take a couple of quick calls. Jeffrey in the Bronx, you're on WABC.
Hi, Mark.
Yes, Jeffrey.
The best summer of all had to be 1966 because the ratings were so phenomenal on the original WABC AM radio.
Yeah.
And they wanted to thank the listening audience for their loyalty. That was the year when they started, from Christmas Day to New Year's Day, playing the top 100 biggest-selling 45 RPM records of the year.
Well, I hate to burst your bubble there. They actually started that in 1964.
No, 66 was the year they first did. I recall because they issued a list. I got all the top 100 lists.
I think they were doing it in 64.
No, I with all due respect, I believe
You know, there's one way you can check anything.
Yes?
You go to Alan Sniffen, our webmaster. He's got that great website.
Okay.
You know, Music Radio, WABC.
Well, with all due respect...
It's actually musicradio77.com. Wait.
1966.
Just talk a little there and stall
okay.
While I find it here.
And it was great because they would issue a commemorative list for the listeners for a stamped self-addressed return envelope you send in.
All right, wait a minute.
It listed the songs in order from 1 to 100, the artist or group, and the record label was on.
Let's see.
And it had the pictures of all the radio personalities on the cover.
You may be right. There's a 1966 cover. You're right. They never published a list before 1966.
Right.
But on this website, somebody made up one for 64 and 65. You turn out to be right, and I turn out to be wrong. How do you like that?
Well, listen, Mark, you're right so many times that, you know, being wrong once in a while, it's no big deal.
There you go. Hey, Jeffrey, thanks for calling. Take care. We've got to take a quick break. Saturday Night Oldies is brought to you by New York Community Bank. Even more rewards are coming soon from the bank that always gives you more.
Saturday Night Oldies.
What an awesome idea.
From 77 WABC.
That's WABC, sounding a bit like the WABC of the 1970s. Thanks, Audrey, for sending that along. If you'd like to submit a market scope, send your tape to me, Phil Wayne, at 313 Spring Street, Upper Sandusky, Ohio, 43351, 1652. I, along with the entire audio service membership, would be very grateful for your help.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors. Members may muse by calling the action line.
Hi, this is Don Finney in Miami, Florida. When was the first FM station operating in the United States? I have a hunch it was 1944, but I'm not sure.
Hello, fellow DXers. This is Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Well, the luckiest baseball announcer has to be John Rooney. His last year with the White Sox, they win it all. This year, his first year with St. Louis, and what do you know? They win it all, too. Tom Peschurik got fired. I think he's the most unlucky one. The Washington Nationals got rid of him, and recently so did Fox TV. I made a catch last Wednesday afternoon about 5:15 on 1240 WBKZ. I don't know where that would have come from. I usually get CJCS Stratford or WJTN Jamestown, New York on that frequency, being as if it's a graveyard frequency and there's such a hodgepodge of stations. I understand the Seattle Mariners are probably changing radio stations too. Ron Fairley is retiring from the broadcast booth with them. And I know Steve Stewart is in line possibly to get that job. He just did a couple of years in Cincinnati, and I thought was very good there.
Hello, Fred and DX Audio Service subscribers. Paul Burkhart in Watertown, Massachusetts. This is Friday, November 24th at about 1:45 in the morning. I just finished reading the audio service, and I noticed that my DX change was recorded. I must tell you, and as a good a piece of news, that the Zenith Transoceanic R7000Y has been sold. So there's no reason for you to call me about that radio because it's been all taken care of. I do need to tell you that very recently I've been able to pick up radio station CKDO in Oshawa, Ontario at 1580, and they have a fairly good signal at nighttime here in Massachusetts. Also, I've been able to pick up a station at 1690 in near Washington, D.C., among other things. So that is our muse for this time. Have a very fine holiday season, all of you DX subscribers.
This is Paul Smith in Baltimore, Maryland. Got a format change to mention. Actually, not a format change, a call letter change. WITH, which had been in the Baltimore area for over 65 years, has changed its call letters to newstalkdc.com. They are not even running local traffic or news or even local commercials. Everything is satellite from Salem. Also, WBMD in Baltimore at 750 on the AM dial, which used to be 1,000 watts, is now 730 watts, and their studios are located in Annapolis, Maryland, but I think the transmitter is still in Baltimore.
Hello, Ken Anastruck, Lockport, Illinois, your sports editor. I want you to know that USA Today published the entire College Bowl schedule on November 29th. If anybody is interested in the bowls and the dates for radio coverage, call me at 1-815-838-2179. And I'll fill you in on the information.
Hello there, DX. Josh Owens in Reidsville, North Carolina. Long time, no post. A couple of corrections from the December issue. AM 970 in Brandon, Mississippi. I heard them back in June. They are their call sign is now WZQK, and they're playing country music. Still simulcasting with the 850 out of Forest, Mississippi. But it is no longer gospel, and the call sign is now WZQK. As far as the 570 station that's listed with the Charlotte, North Carolina basketball team, that WR, or whatever it was, forgot the call sign now, DTF, I believe it was. I was about to go back to its old call sign a minute ago there. That is no longer the call sign. It is actually in Raleigh. I believe the change was noted in the November issue. Thanks. Keep up the good work. Enjoyed it. Bye for now.
Hello, Fred and DXers. This is the one and only Victor speaking to you from the Schmidt House in downtown Silver Spring, Maryland. First of all, I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Happy New Year. I have a question for Wayne Ryan of Bradford, Ontario. I'm picking up a radio station on 1580. It plays oldies. I think the call sign is CKDO, and I keep hearing Oshawa mentioned a lot. Last night when I got them in fairly clear, they were doing the hockey play-by-play of the Oshawa 767, I guess is the nickname of the team. I also got another station, I believe it was an oldie station, on 1590, and I heard Ottawa mentioned a couple of times, and then at 5 o'clock, it went, I guess, to nighttime patterns. So I'd like to know what I got on 1580, was it Oshawa, and was 1590 a station in Ottawa? I also get the station from Ottawa on 1200 from time to time, even after sunset. I agree with Tim Hindle on the oldies, on these oldie stations. I like to hear the song and not the disc jockey stepping on the beginning and the ends of the songs. I guess they've been told to do that. Paul Burkhart, you talked about the satellite problem, and if you notice, it occurs mainly around the springtime of the year and in the autumn time of the year during the equinox. So look for that problem again around March.
Hi, DX Audio Service members. This is John Sanders. I'm located in the Lansing, Michigan area. I got a question for you. Whenever I'm DXing on the AM band, just tuning up and down to see what I can catch from different cities around the world, sometimes I'm hearing static, and sometimes I'm hearing fading in and out of stations that I don't even know where they're located. I can catch some distant stations. I can catch, like, Toronto and places like that. I also caught Iowa once. But basically, I'm wanting to concentrate mainly on the south, the central part of the United States and the western part of the United States, like Florida and all those places. So how should I go about resolving that, because I live in a truck stop area and it's real hard for me to capture those kinds of stations. So could someone please tell me what I need to do to solve that problem? So if someone could please do that, that would be great. What I say, 73 is in good DX or KTWS. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, everybody. Happy holidays to you. This is Mike Lance in Miami Beach, Florida, with a real interesting muse for many people out there. Many people, I believe, remember the disc jockey by the name of Rick Shaw, who was in the South Florida area and who has been in the South Florida area since 1960. Rick Shaw is retiring after 50 years of being in radio in East St. Louis, Illinois, and I believe he was in Denver, and he worked for a while at KOIL in Omaha. But he is leaving Miami radio, where he worked on a few stations, WCKR, WIOD, then WQAM, WINZ for a while when he retired and went into TV work and did commercials, and he also produced local programs. Then when he came back to radio, he was with WAXY, Waxy 106, 105.9 at that time. Then when he left Waxy, he went to Magic 102.7 WMXJ, and that's where he's been for the past few years. So I would like to wish Rick Shaw the best of luck in his future endeavors.
Hi, DX Audio Service. Paul Burkhart from Watertown, Massachusetts. This is December 9th, just after midnight. My question is this. Now, I know that we have a ESPN affiliate here in Boston, WAMG, for 890. I also noticed that there is a station in Montreal at 990. They call themselves Montreal, the Team, 990. But I don't know what the call letters are. I also discovered that there is apparently an ESPN affiliate at 1240 that one can pick up sometimes during the evenings. There is also one at 1390 that's ESPN that comes in and out. I wonder if anybody knows where those stations are and what the call letters are and how new Montreal, the Team 990, is.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. Remember, if you have something on your mind, something to say, give us a call today on the Action Line. The telephone number is area code 360-469-0189. That's area code 360-469-0189. That's for DX Audio Service members only. Please keep it brief and to the point so everyone has a chance to speak. You don't need to repeat yourself because we have cassettes. We can play it back. And above all, keep it on the topic of radio.
You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.
Speaking of radio, there's kind of a mystery going on. A strong test tone that's being heard on 1610 kilohertz that's been widely heard at night. This has been reported by DXers across Canada and the U.S. on November the 29th through the 30th. It seems to be emanating from the Washington, D.C. area. Initial theories point toward a PSYOPS test from one of the military bases that are just south of D.C. Bruce Conte stated that he's not receiving at midday in Nashua, New Hampshire, only hearing the HARTIS station at 1600 UTC, but it's strong at night, noting a S9 plus 40 signal on the south antenna and S9 plus 10 on the east antenna on November the 30th at 2230 UTC. He says the power has to be at least 1 kilowatt. The PSYOPS transmitters are typically 10 kilowatts. However, Mark DiLorenzo reports the following post is from longtime DXer and former CBS engineer Bob Foxworth, now living in Tampa, Florida. The move of the test tone from 1610 to 1020 kilohertz was noted by longtime DXer Ben Dangerfield near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania at 1022 Eastern Standard Time Friday, an hour before Bob Foxworth's post. It would appear that the government is preparing transmitters to broadcast information into Cuba at the time of Castro's death. A posting on one of the broadcast band DX lists within the hour states, 1610 was legit and approved 10 kilowatts from an unspec'd East Coast location. Content, 1 kilohertz tone, nothing else, no hidden data. 1610 tests are now finished. Testing now on 1020. Look tonight and Saturday night, December 1st and 2nd. Then testing on 590 from Tuesday to Friday on December the 5th. Then done. The purpose of the test authority or location was not given by the poster. I'm sure more details will be forthcoming. Some broadcast people are looking at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, which is the home of the Army Communications Command, as a possible site based on some directional finding that they did with their FIM-41 field strength meters. Finally, some are speculating that this is in preparation for a presumed upcoming demise of El Maximo in order to have assets ready to deploy on the radio spectrum. A quick plug for All Radio 3, digital radio, friend or foe, a special compact disc that we have available from the Publication Center. I talk with engineer and author Barry McLarnon about digital radio, IBOC, and show examples of the adjacent channel interference that many DXers have talked about. This informational interview goes in-depth with great detail about IBOC from the DXer standpoint. It's 57 minutes long. Price is $5.50 post-paid in the U.S., $7.50 post-paid to Canada, and $10.50 post-paid overseas. Where do you get it? You need to contact Mr. Wayne Heinen at Post Office Box 473-251, Aurora, Colorado, 80047-3251. By the way, Bob Foxworth of Tampa, Florida, wrote about the Radio Shack Acurion HD radio. He writes, I bought an RS a Curian HD radio for evaluation on a promotional sale and rebate, which ended last Saturday. I bought it at the Radio Shack store in the Citrus Park Mall in a factory box carton. The young sales clerk knew what it was and did not mistake it for an XM or Sirius, and said that they were selling, quote, lots of them, though I have to put that in some context. They said I could return it within 30 days, which I might yet do. With the rebate, this made the net $100 with my pricing model. The box contains a receiver and remote, power supply, and one AM and two FM external antennas. The receiver is approximately 7.5 inches high and 12 inches wide, 6 inches deep maximum, and presents a slightly curved panel with two speakers, one in each side, and a control area in the middle. There is a slight temperature rise from the top air vent. The brick power supply is approximately 4 3/4 wide by 2 1/4 by 1 3/8 inches and accepts a standard PC 3-pin cord on one end and has a cable feeding a barrel connector on the other, which goes to the receiver. The power supply output rating is DC 5 volts at 5 amps. The receiver tunes AM 530 to 1710 in 10 kHz steps with a rollover at the ends, and the FM tunes 88 to 108 MHz. The AM loop is a plastic rectangular frame, approximately 5 3/4 wide by 5 inches high, with 7 turns of maybe 28-gauge stranded wire solenoid wound on the frame. There is no tuning or resonating cap. The two ends of the winding lead to the approximate 6.5-foot mini coax lead-in terminate into two tinned wire pigtails, heat shrunk at both ends. These tinned leads are then placed into the antenna input push-ups by the user. There is a choice of two FM antennas, either a single unipole of a length of 4 foot 10 inches or a dipole, not folded, made of mini twin lead with a feed line of 4 foot 10 inches and the T is 31 inches on each side. Each FM antenna terminates into a F connector and has a plastic hanger eyelet. The instruction book is 13 pages, well illustrated and moderately technical for a user level, but has no real technical internal operation receiver info. The rear of the receiver has a 5-volt barrel jack, a 1/8-inch mini phono jack for auxiliary in, two push clips marked plus and ground for the two AM loop wire pigtail leads, and a F connector for the FM antenna the user chooses. There is no internal antenna provided. The push clips are like those found on a cabinet loudspeaker. The front of the receiver has the following functions. Power, that is push on and push off. LCD display panel with blue blacklit characters, rotary volume knob, which also supports pushing in for mode, 2 AM, 2 FM, and auxiliary M. The 2 AM or FM ranges support hearing two pre-tuned stations on each band. The volume adjust is detented step rotary tuning, and the bar graph lights up when the volume knob is being changed. The auxiliary is a good match for the earphone jack of a handheld digital recorder and provides some good sound for one of these devices. Front panel buttons also include preset store, channel plus, channel minus, tuning plus, DSP, and clock. The preset saves your favorite frequencies, but again, do not survive a removal of the power cord from the wall. Channel mode selects previously preset stations, and tuning mode selects any frequency by stepping up or down 10 kHz, or can be held in to go into the search mode. DSP has 5 settings: jazz, pop, classical, rock, and none, which apparently just adjusts the EQ and roll-off of different types of music. I believe their usefulness is marginal and to me is somewhat cosmetic as it does not affect the RF environment. The clock display date and time is in 12 hours, an all numeric format on the LCD panel. When AC power is disconnected, the clock does not store time and does not reset from any HD data stream, but must be rekeyed each time the AC plug is connected. The clock shows if no artist data is being sent. The radio will, however, store the last AM or FM frequency chosen if the power is removed and reapplied. As the intention is to have the user operate the set with the panel power push buttons, a relay click is heard, this should not be an issue. A mini phono headset jack is provided on the front panel, which mutes the speakers and provides an easy way to get audio recordings from the set. I did not, as of now, attempt to use the remote, as it would not add to the electronic behavior of the radio receiver. Testing was done in Northwest Tampa with no AM antenna connected. My locals on 620, 820, and 970 are heard weekly, say S3 to S4, and 570 at a threshold level, maybe 10 to 15 dB boost can be had by holding the finger next to the clips and inducing some coupling. Using the loop gives good level on these local AM signals, but a faint background noise in analog mode is heard. Rotating the loop creates maybe 20 to 25 dB of nulling when the loop is upright. Laying the loop flat reduces pickup substantially. The manual vaguely refers to repositioning the antenna if the signal is weak, but had no explanation of proper loop positioning. Many open daytime AM channels showed varying types of slight to substantial complex noise, which defies simple description, but serves to partially mask weak AM signals. Test frequencies such as 590 or 640, which is Havana, Cuba, WRZN 720 or WWBF 1130 were heard with substantial degradation in signal-to-noise ratio compared to reception with a test analog receiver. The type of noise would vary by frequency, being birdies, rumbling, or just grinding sounds. The tests for sensitivity on these weak signals show many were uncopyable or marginal audio copy at best, but they could be copied with little difficulty on sets such as the DX398 barefoot, due apparently to the reduced antenna gain and the higher noise floor. There is a very long AGC attack time, and when the frequency is step-tuned, the new frequency is muted for over a second, then slowly rises in volume. Listening to frequencies where several signals are present with pronounced beating yields a pumping or chuffing irregular sound that makes hearing the audio difficult. Tests were done using a Radio Shack 15-1853 loop. This is the circular tuned loop that was sold a few years ago. It was possible to get a boost in signal when this loop was near field coupled to the receiver's loop, but the tuning was not sharp or distinct. It had to be adjusted carefully and slowly, as if the front end of the receiver was almost fighting back. An effect I've never seen before and find hard to describe. I have not yet attempted to completely substitute a different loop in place of the stock one. There were some AM frequencies that were relatively noise-free at once. I had hearable copy on Jamaica 720 a little after sunset. The summary for AM is that, 1, I don't think this receiver is acceptable for DXing non-HD stations in the analog mode, and 2, does not have the sensitivity to get a usable signal from the HD station outside of its local coverage area. It gives an almost acceptable quality level for strong HD AM signals. I did notice the artifacting on AM-HD signals, such as with the Limbaugh and other talk shows. I'd rate it as slightly annoying over an extended period of time. I foresee marketing issues where a set buyer may believe that every AM signal will be received in enhanced mode that HD offers, when in fact the greater majority of AM signals may actually sound worse due to operating non-HD and from the noise issues that I experienced. AM-HD in Tampa, there are two AM-HD signals, 820 and 970. These are high-power daytime signals located just a few miles distant from me. Both these signals will decode to HD at this close range. The big question, of course, is what is the limit of coverage at which the HD decoder fails when analog is usable? I'm able to force a temporary unlock of HD on these two AMs simply by rotating the loop. There are two critical angles at which HD is marginal, even at this range, due to loop nulling. A non-technical user who uses set and forget for his or her loop placement in the house runs a small chance of never hearing a desired HD AM station, and may not understand the need for better loop performance, as the collective experience of outdoor antennas is now a lost art. When any non-HD frequency is tuned in, the display will say, for example, 860 AM. When tuning in, say, 970, the display will pick up and show the call letter ID in a second, or even less than a second. Then it takes 7 to 8 seconds for the audible decoding to change the HD sound. When this happens, a HD logo becomes visible on the display, and a 6-line bar graph showing signal strength becomes visible. The bar graph is not rapidly responsive to input level changes, that is, loop rotations, and is unclear what exactly drives it. As FM signals show most or all bars, while AM just shows some, and of course only my two local HD signals. The main effect of HD is to brighten the high-end audio response and to create a sensation of stereo separation. This effect is noticed best when the user is directly in front of the set or using a headset, and is somewhat less pronounced when listening from a distance. The effect on WMGG, a Spanish formatted station, is quite a lot more noticeable than it is on WFLA, a talk station, where it is only somewhat apparent. The display latches the call letters, which continue to show even if the HD unlocks. WMGG has a scrolling line of text with their web address. WFLA has no such data stream, and the display just shows artist and title in the area where the date and time or scroll otherwise appear. It's interesting to tune the set to 960, where the hiss is present on a DX398. In this case, a grinding, bubbling type noise is heard, not too different than the analog case. I'm sure someone is wondering about that. Incidentally, WFLA's hiss is somewhat louder on 960 than on 980 on the analog set. One of my plans is to determine the rough edges of the AM-HD coverage. I would do this simply by taking the set in my truck, powering it from a AC inverter, and setting it up at various locations. I soon found that the inverter I have plays very badly with this, and probably other sets, on AM, and this option is completely unworkable for me. I may need to come up with a 5-volt, 5-amp clean source. In the meantime, I do have some other results to offer. I set up the set at an indoor location in southern Pasco County, close to the intersection of State Route 41 and State Route 54. Neither HD signal was even decently copyable in analog, let alone in any HD. I need to go back and see if this is the environment. On the other hand, I set up the receiver indoors at the KFC Meeting Hall on Fruitville Road in Sarasota, the meeting place of the antique radio collectors, where WFLA gave just fragmentary bursts of HD. However, I was surprised to see that WMGG gave a solid decode there. This is about 50 miles south of Tampa. Auxiliary in, the fifth input option, 2 AM, 2 FM, and an auxiliary, lets you feed the output of another sound device into the set. This was very useful to me. I have several small digital recorders and can feed the headset output through the set with good results. Take care not to overdrive the input, but a decent headset level from the recorder should be optimum. And that's about it for this edition of the DX Audio Service for January 2007. Don't forget, we have that survey, which we're sending out to all DX Audio Service subscribers. If you subscribe via cassette, you'll get it in the form of a letter. Please fill it out and then send it back to us. If you're an EDXN subscriber, you need to download the PDF, which is on the website, and fill it out and then send it back to us. Please, we need your comments, so don't leave it laying around and say you're going to get to it later on. It's just like going to vote. The polls close at a certain time, so please send that back to us as soon as possible. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Remember, get out and support radio.